Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So, how was the course? Is it too heavy, too taxing, or you think it's all right? Because continuously 3 days going through the same topics, huh? So, now what I am going to discuss now is where we commonly make mistakes in colposcopy. It's fine. If you have a good colposcope, you look through it, and you have a nice vision. First thing is that you must learn to focus. Make sure that the cervix is, as I say, directly looking towards the colposcope, and you get to see the squamocolumnar junctions and other things very nicely. Apply adequate amount of acetic acid. Take a lot of acetic acid as we were doing yesterday, and then make the cervix absolutely soaked in acetic acid. So those everything is important. All these things. If you miss any of these steps, then there will be problems. Now, that's exactly what I was telling you, that the squamocolumnar junction, as we have been discussing repeatedly, again and again, because all the lesions, they will start from the squamocolumnar junction. So, if you have seen the squamocolumnar junction, you can be quite sure that you are not missing a small lesion which is arising from the squamocolumnar junction. So, that's the first thing you must do when you are doing colposcopy. And then if you cannot see the squamocolumnar junction, there are a lot of things you can do. First thing, as I said, try to open up the speculum a little bit more. If it is a cervix, the os is, the little pliable, sometimes you may be able to see the squamocolumnar junction. Then take a swab stick and try to move the cervix. Lift up the cervix on one side and you maybe see the posterior margin of the squamocolumnar junction and other way around. Or push the fornix. Push the anterior fornix, the cervix rotates, you may be able to see the anterior leap of the squamocolumnar junction. If none of these things work, then you can use some of the instruments. If you have the endocervical speculum, this is the endocervical speculum. So you have to go in, keep it closed, go in, and gently open, and as you open, what you need to do is like this picture. See this picture? What you are seeing is your focus is on the speculum. What you need to do is change your adjust your focus a little bit, and then make sure you get to see the inside. So I have seen many people doing this, focusing, they're using the speculum rightly, but then they forget to do a little bit focusing adjustment, because your focusing is at the outside. So you will have to use the focusing adjustment, and then you will get to see the columnar epithelium inside, and then when you gently come out, you get to see the squamocolumnar junction. So that is important. And I will show you how exactly it's important to see the squamocolumnar junction. So anybody would like to describe this picture? What are the things we see here? This was a lady, she had a hybrid capture, HPVDS test positive.
Discharge.
Yes, there is a thick mucus there. Anything else?
There's peeling of the tissue.
Yes, you can see that there is an erosion. There is a peeling of the epithelium. It is raw. It has started bleeding. That's all is there. So if you are not careful, if you think that this is the squamocolumnar junction, then you'll be in a trap. See that what happens as I lift up this mucus, you see that. There is a small but dense acetovite area. See that? Dense acetovite area. With a little higher magnification, you can see there is a dense acetovite area with up and down on the surface. There are abnormal blood vessels there. It actually turned out to be an invasive cancer. So it's a tiny lesion, but it's arising from the squamocolumnar junction. So until and unless you are careful to see the squamocolumnar junction, you can miss this kind of lesion. So first thing is, identify the squamocolumnar junction. Identifying squamocolumnar junction also helps you to find out where the columnar epithelium is expected. Now, as we are discussing about BIA, many of you say that the columnar epithelium, as you apply acetic acid on the columnar epithelium, what happens is that the blood vessels below the thin epithelium, it shrinks. And then columnar epithelium becomes whitish. So many of the times seen people doing BIA, they miss it, or even on colposcopy people misinterpret as an acetoate epithelium. Look at this.
Before you apply acetic acid, you have a look at the surface, right? So you can, most of the time you can make up, especially on bulbosculopy, that this is likely to be the columnar epithelium and this is the pink squamous epithelium. So the squamocolumnar junction is somewhere here. So if I see a white area here, I will not be very surprised. And exactly that has happened. I applied acetic acid, you can see that the columnar epithelium, it has become whitish. And also on the columnar epithelium, there is always some of the metaplastic activity going on. So the metaplastic epithelium also takes a little bit whitish color. So that is not the same. We should not say that this is acetovite. And sometimes this whiteness can be quite, so what you need to do is just wait for a few seconds. You apply acetic acid, wait for a few seconds, and you will see that the color will gradually disappear. See this? See this? The red color comes back. So that's important. And also, you can increase the magnification to see the other features of the columnar epithelium, the villi-like, finger-like things, the fissures or the clefts of the columnar epithelium. So they will all tell you that that is nothing but the columnar epithelium, right? So you'll have to give some time for the columnar epithelium to get back its original color. See this picture? Before applying acetic acid, you can generally make out that possibly that is the squamocolumnar junction. And see the color which is taken, the columnar epithelium. Quite, white color, this thing. And you can fall in a trap. If you don't, beforehand, you should keep in your mind that this is the area where the columnar epithelium is, and I can expect a whitish color there. So what you need to do, as I said, that if you are doing colposcopy, you can increase the magnification, look for the columnar epithelium villi, finger-like projections, clefts of the columnar epithelium. So that will help you to identify the columnar epithelium. Next is, those white patches which we really don't know what to do about. As I said, always the acetovite patches, number one, there will be a definite opaque patch. Number two, they will be arising from the squamocolumnar junction. Number three, they will have an outer margin, definite margin. It may not be elevated, but then it has to be a definite smooth margin. And this kind of pictures, see here, and this is a case of inflammation. A lot of mucopus coming up and the surface is inflamed. There are some patches of white here and there. It looks like it is, kind of disappearing into the surrounding, diffusing into the surrounding. There is no definite margin. Some patches here and there, they don't have any significance. So these are the things, many of the time you get confused whether to give this positive or negative. Of course, all the time we say that if you have doubt, especially those who are doing DIA, if you have doubt whether this is negative or positive, give a positive diagnosis. Because if you give the negative diagnosis, the woman goes back home. There is nobody to check. But if you give a positive diagnosis, at least the lady goes to a colposcopist and the colposcopist can rule out, okay, this is negative or this is positive. Candidial discharge. Sometimes it is so thick, you think that's something, leukoplakia or this thing. So take some normal saline, gently try to take it out. If it is candidial discharge, generally it comes out easily. It doesn't cause much of problems. Metaplasia, one of the major problems especially for colposcopy, also in VIA, many of the. So here what you can see is there is a squamocolumnar. You can see nicely the columnar epithelium, and there is a white patch going in. Generally, the metaplastic epithelium, it goes in like a tongue. Right? So here you can see it is going in like a tongue. But then it's quite white. It has an outer margin. But then it turned out to be metaplasia. So many of the times, it's simply not possible to distinguish between metaplasia and CIN1. So again, you can go ahead and take a biopsy if you are doing colposcopy. If you are doing VIA, give a positive result so that the lady goes for further evaluation. See this? Again, metaplasia, tongue-like thing going in. And you'll find other features like ectropion will be there. There will be a lot of other crypt openings, there will be islands of columnar epithelium, which will tell you that possibly the metaplasia is going on. And if it is a CIN lesions always go out. So this is a thin acetoid, this is also a thin acetoid, this is a CIN1 and it is going out. And this is metaplasia, it is going in. I told you about this congenital transformation zone.
So sometimes, as you say, that this is these are the large lesions, oblong-shaped large lesions, go right up to the
fornices.
Right up to the fornices. Typically, they have fine mosaic on the surface. But then, if you have any doubt, take a punch biopsy from here, take a punch biopsy from there. So that will confirm your diagnosis. And when you write down your pathology requisition form, please write down that this is what you suspect. That helps the pathologist also to give a correct diagnosis.
Blood vessels, one major problem in colposcopy.
Many of the times you see blood vessels, you really don't know what to do, whether they're normal or abnormal, but my suggestion, don't waste much time with blood vessels. You apply acetic acid. Acid whitening is the most important thing. That is something that will guide you to come to a correct diagnosis. And blood vessels, as I showed yesterday, so they should have a normal branching pattern, and something like this is abnormal.
You see this? This blood vessel doesn't have any specific pattern. Some are thick, some are thin. This blood vessel is no branching pattern. And you apply acetic acid, and the background will invariably be densely acetovite. For some moment, the blood vessel will be masked by the acetovitinin. Wait for some time, you'll again see that the blood vessel is coming up. So these are the abnormal blood vessels.
But many of the times, I must say that blood vessels are very difficult to diagnose at some times.
Erosion or peeling of the epithelium. Something like this. I am not concerned with this. This is so far away from the squamocolumnar junction. So this is, she must have had an infection. You try to put in the speculum, you open up the speculum, the epithelium gets damaged. This is not important. What is important is this. See this?
There is an area of erosion which is arising right from the squamocolumnar junction. In fact, the eroded epithelium has
this thing. And you see this area? There is an acetovite area with abnormal blood vessels. So essentially the whole thing area is abnormal. So we are lucky that we still have an area left behind. So it was easy for us to diagnose that this is a high-grade lesion and this is erosion. So that's why if you see an eroded area near the arising from the squamocolumnar junction, you should be a little more careful in your colposcopy. Try to find out whether there are some other areas where you can find some abnormality. If you cannot find an abnormality, Shankar, this is something I didn't get any specific guideline. If you find only an erosion, nothing else, and if I am doing pap smear, then it's fine. I have an HCL pap smear report. I know that erosion is significant. I may even go for a root excision. But then, supposing we are doing VIA positive or whatever, the patient has been referred, and I find just an erosion arising from the squamocolumnar junction. What would be your this thing? I say that we should take a couple of punch biopsies, deep punch biopsies, but that may or may not give you a report. We call the patient after a month or so. That's all we can do. So just be careful that's the situation where something may be abnormal. Take a punch biopsy, deep punch biopsy. You were lucky, say, there may be disease in the crypt or something. The pathologist may find out something, but may not be there because the epithelium has been knocked off. So recall the woman after a month or so. Keep in what I write down that I have seen an erosion in this area. So next time I become more gentle in opening up the speculum. And if there is any abnormality, we may be able to pick up that time. So that's the importance of erosion. And as I said, one of the most difficult things in colposcopy, postmenopausal women, we hate doing colposcopy and postmenopausal women. It's first thing, it's very difficult to make them relax. They are aged, and the vagina is stenosed. Cervix is absolutely flushed. And cervix loses its normal red-pink color. It's lustreless. It's so pale. So you can over-diagnose. You may think, they look like that's something. I'll show you a picture. Look at this picture. There's the cervix before applying acetic acid. You can make out this is a postmenopausal atrophied cervix. You cannot see the squamocolumnar junction. This is after application of acetic acid. What do you say? Is it positive or is there a lesion there? Is there an acetovitae patch there?
Yeah.
Yes. I took a couple of biopsies from anteriorly, posteriorly, and nothing. It was all normal.
That's, you see, this whole thing is, you know,
the red patches are possibly because of, you know, small peeling of epithelium, previous inflammation and repair, and then looks like there is something whitish here, but it's really not, that's, we don't find any margin. I was really this thing, what this is and what this is, whether this I took punch biopsy from here, I took punch biopsies from here, none of them had any disease.
And then, of course, Lubal's had also.
Was it something like regenerative?
Yeah, possibly that's what it is. You can see a lot of reddish patches, which is kind of tells us that there was some erosion and then it is healing up. So possibly that because of that, it was whitish, though the VIA they gave us positive. And Lugosidin also doesn't help us, because it will be, in any case, Lugosidin will not be taken up. So it's a postmenopausal lady, but then one thing about postmenopausal ladies is, they don't usually come with a low-grade lesion. That's the age when you see the high-grade lesions, and most importantly, that's the age when you get the cancers. So with a postmenopausal lady, you'll have to be extra careful. Check the history, whether she has got history of postmenopausal bleeding, contact bleeding or anything, discharge, persistent discharge and other things. And of course, these are also, again, that's something make you more confused, because these are not punctations, these are petechial hemorrhages. Petechial hemorrhages, if you use a little bit magnification, with a little bit of magnification, you can make out these are not punctations, these are smudged blood just below the epithelium. So that helps you. Now look at this picture. What do you see?
Flushed.
It's a service flushed with epithelium, right? With the vagina. Any abnormality?
There's a mucoid discharge.
A bit of discharge there, yes. Now, I use a little bit higher magnification. What do we see?
This particular
yes. There is an area of punctation, a small, tiny area of coarse punctation. I apply acetic acid. That area turns white. And you won't believe, this lady had only this area which we could see. I did a loop excision and there was a CIN3 lesion inside the canal. So this was a postmenopausal lady, hybrid capture positive, and this was all you can see. So the postmenopausal lady, if anything you see abnormal, you'll be more careful. What about this? This is after application of acetic acid. Positive or negative? On VIA, what do you say?
Positive.
VIA is positive. Yes. I'm glad that you said VIA positive. Because you see, the whole of cervix, including right up to the fornix, is the acetovite. So if you are not careful, if you just see this area and don't see the margins, and then you may say that is, looks like, oh, there is no change. But then yes, there is a large, dense acetovite area on the entire cervix, and you use a higher magnification, you can actually make out these are all peeled epithelium. And you can see the abnormal blood vessels there. So as an invasive cancer, you can see the coarse punctations there, you can see the coarse mosaics there, and the whole cervix was taken up by the lesion. It was an invasive cancer. The same one. Because somebody was asking, when the high-grade lesions, they go into the vagina. This is what happens. You know, the low-grade lesions will not go, even CIN2s will not go into the vagina. It's mostly CIN3 or more importantly, invasive cancers. They go into the vagina. So this is the lesion here. And you can see the coarse punctations into the fornix and then it goes out into the upper third of the vagina. See the coarse punctations there? Anybody would like to describe this? In a postmenopausal lady with HPV testing, they are positive. This is what you see. Before applying acetic acid. Any comment? Yeah, there is a tiny, small growth inside the canal. The entire growth is there. See, the ectocervix is apparently so normal. And this is what? An abnormal blood vessel. A small, tiny growth. And an abnormal blood vessel. You see, a little higher magnification and it has already started bleeding from inside. And this is what happens after application of acetic acid. See, the ectocervix is so normal. It's only in the Hindu service that a tiny growth, it has become densely acetate white. And always, as soon as you see a dense acetate white, its surface has become elevated or irregular. So, think about invasive cancer. What do you see here? It's his coarse mosaic. See, the cervix has not, you know, changed its contour. The normal contour of the cervix is maintained. No growth on the surface. Only thing we see is a large number of, you know, coarse mosaics. This coarse mosaic is going right into the vagina. And then we apply acetic acid and the whole area becomes densely acetovite. Then again, an invasive cancer which is going right into the, up to the vagina. And that's the reason why we say that hysterectomy is not an answer for, especially for the high-grade lesions. Many of the high-grade lesions will have this kind of extension into the vagina. So you, when you cut, you put the clamps from above, you are blindly putting the clamp here and you are leaving behind this area of abnormality, which will come back after maybe 5 years, 6 years as invasive cancers. Yeah. There's a lot of there. Even very nicely, you can see that there is a coarse mosaic, and at the center there is a coarse punctation. Coarse mosaic, coarse punctation. So these are called umbilications. And then you can see the apparently the surface look normal. With a colposcope, you can see the surface has already become elevated up and down. The same one going right into the up to the vagina. You can see the coarse mosaics. Post palpations and lot of umbilications. You can see the umbilications there. Okay, this was an interesting case. A lady came to our OPD with vulvar, itching, and there was a red patch in the vulva. Sorry, I forgot to put in the vulvar picture. And then the vulvar intraepithelial neoplasia 3, VIN3, was diagnosed. So somebody also took a hybrid capture HPV DNA testing from the cervix, and that turned out to be positive. So this is what we see on colposcopy of the cervix. So this is, what is this? There is a dense acetovite area. This is raised from the surface and it's in the vagina, isn't it? So it is vaginal intraepithelial neoplasia. So Pajba actually turned out to be vein 3. And now, with higher magnification, what do you see?
Cervix.
In the cervix?
There
is an acetovite area, but more importantly, we see some abnormal blood vessels. That's all in this lady. So we took a loop excision first. We did a loop excision, and then loop excision turned out to be invasive cancer of the cervix. So this lady had invasive cancer of the cervix with vaginal intraepithelial neoplasia 3. With vulvar intraepithelial neoplasia. So sometimes it happens because this is a multicentric disease. So you can have the disease in the vulva along with cervix. So whenever there is a vulvar disease, it is mandatory that you have a look at the cervix. This I showed to you yesterday, a polyp which has taken up dense acetovite with coarse punctations, and yeah, this you can see the tuft cryptopathies, there. See, IN3 on a polyp. And I lifted the polyp, and below the polyp you can see the cervix is all normal. So the whole thing was in the polyp. Right. So, we can go for this practical. If you want to ask any more questions, we are also there. Dr. Usha wants to take up questions. Any suggestions? Okay, one thing I will show you, the format of reporting. You know, I was discussing this with Dr. Niti. You know, when we do colposcopy in the field, we have to do a large number of colposcopies as well as screening. So we go for a very quick reporting format. Just put the diagnosis, draw a picture, and that's it. But then if you are doing colposcopy in this clinic, you can think about adopting this form we use in our own clinic. This is based on the IFCPC terminology. So what is important is you put the date of examination when you are doing colposcopy, name, age, LMP is very important. She's post-menopausal, say, right down 7 years back, 5 years back, whatever. Then why are you doing colposcopy? Most of the time it will be for you, it will be positive BIA. But many of the times, you know, somebody has symptoms, like postpartum bleeding, yeah, post-menopausal bleeding. Those are the cases it's good to do colposcopy first. And then some patient may have having colposcopy as a follow-up of treatment. So you tick post-treatment. The date of screening, if she has already had a test done. So screening test done is BIA, put the test date and test result is positive, right? Then you go for the squamocolumnar junction visualization. Is it complete? Is it partial? Or you cannot see the squamocolumnar junction at all? So either of these three. Then adequacy of examination. It can be adequate, it can be inadequate sometimes because a patient is having excessive menstrual bleeding. It can be inadequate. It's difficult to expose the cervix. It can be inadequate. There is so much of bleeding from the cervix, you cannot make out what is going on. Those are inadequate colposcopic examination. Okay, after adequacy of colposcopy examination, then, the new nomenclature is in three different categories. Normal colposcopic findings, abnormal colposcopic findings, and suspicious of invasion. So, normal colposcopy findings, you just tick this. Odian squamous epithelium, you tick means Odian squamous epithelium is normal. And then columnar epithelium, tick, that means it is normal, nothing there. And then say what is the type of transformation. So that's all. If you find anything else, you can tick any of these. But these are all normal findings, colposcopic findings. And then if you find any abnormal finding, then you'll have to say whether it is minor or grade 1 or it is grade 2. Minor grade 1 findings are fine acetoid, fine mosaic, fine palpations, which essentially tells us it is mosaic, maybe low grade lesion. So you'll have to put that. And grade 2 is a real important thing. So all these things, whatever you find, you can tick. Dense acetovite if you are fine, then coarse mosaic if you find a sharp border, then put the ticks. So you don't have to spend much time. Then if you have suspicion of invasion, obviously you have to tick why you are suspecting it. And then lastly, give a final diagnosis. You know, a lot of people say, no, with a colposcopy, you cannot give a final diagnosis, that's a histopathological diagnosis, that's fine. But then it's good to put your own impression, don't just say it is abnormal. We always say that give a diagnosis in terms of either normal, or it can be, say, HPV lesions or condyloma. Third is the low-grade lesions, at least you can say that. Fourth is the high-grade lesions, you may not say CIN2, CIN or CIN3. We also give CIN2, CIN3. It's good. I mean, if you give CIN2 and it turns out to be really CIN2, it really boosts up your moral. Essentially, it doesn't matter. But then at least give the diagnosis of high-grade lesion. Or invasive squamous cell carcinoma, invasive adenocarcinoma. So, give the diagnosis. No, I mean, final diagnosis thing is going to come from the pathologist. But then it's good, always good to put a diagnosis in a colposcopy. And then the management. Whatever you are planning or whatever you have done, you put there and this picture. So this line, inner line, it is the squamocolumnar junction. So if you see a lesion going from here, so you just draw the picture like this and put a cross from where you have taken biopsy. You have taken two biopsies, put two crosses. So you know that you have taken two biopsies. So this is what we do in our hospital clinic, not in the field clinic. In the field clinics, we just say, yes.
If you have done loop, then what?
Yeah, write down here, yeah, management, whatever, if you have done in the loop and the same sitting, write down
the loop. We have to make a picture also, sir, for loop.
For the abnormality you have found, you will have to draw the picture.
Okay, sir.
Right? For the loop, you cannot draw the picture.
Yes.
So you just write down loop excision done on such and such date, under local anesthesia. That's all. So that's important. And then you can also put an advice for next follow-up. So, it's up to you whether you want to, I have given this to Dr. Neeti, so you'll have to decide whether you have to adopt something like this.